Is your team not performing well? Is morale low and turnover high? Are you falling further behind the competition? I'm here to help. I'm your host, Shaney, and this is the Leadership Show, where business strategy and culture finally meet, and we make the long-awaited shift from rhetoric to results. I promise I'm not your typical boring leadership consultant, and I will help you get your shift together. Let's do this.
Hello, Leadershifters, and welcome to another episode of the Leadership Show with Shaney. It is my privilege and pleasure today to welcome to the show Jim and Jamie Shields of 18 Summers, which is a brand and a book and so many other things. And it's all about bringing family back. Cue the Justin Timberlake song, I'm bringing sexy back, and change the word to, we're bringing family back.
Uh-huh. I wrote exactly. A whole version of that, a whole speech.
He actually has a song on it, believe it or not.
I do believe it, because you know who has become like my favorite YouTube sensation? The Holderness family.
Oh yeah.
Are you familiar with them?
Yeah, they're funny.
You have to tell me.
Yeah. They're this fantastic family. They've been making not really Weird Al Yankovic type versions, but they've been taking pop songs for years and putting their own words to it for pop culture. But they've been on overdrive since COVID, and they've done dozens of COVID related funny songs. And it's the husband, the wife, the kids, all in these videos. And it's funny, I had no intention of bringing them up right now, but they're actually kind of a nice role model to think about when it comes to our topic today, which is how do busy parents, whether they're quarantined or not, make more time to connect with their kids? Yeah. And that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today, especially in light of the shift that has been taking place over the past 4 or 5 months towards quarantining, shelter in place, homeschooling. The family dynamic has probably never been more challenging for some of your clients, I would imagine.
Yeah. It's no one was ready for COVID. Not at the level we experienced anyway. You know, everything was brought home. You know, family, business, school, it's all happening from home. And that put a whole new pressure on things. And if it really unveiled that, geez, we really have been, I don't want to say neglecting family life, but almost sidelining it to a point where this brought things back into full focus. And I think it's shown the importance of family life, how it can actually help tie everything together so that, truth be told, we really enjoyed lockdown. It wasn't easy from the beginning, but there were certain principles that we had in place and been teaching for years that really helped. And I'm sure we'll go into those today.
Yeah. We all knew, you know, when you come into something like that, like you said, you weren't really prepared and you didn't know what you were facing. And many of us came to realize that we were wounded, right? Like there was already an issue. Like COVID didn't cause the issue that was happening at home, in your marriage, in your family. COVID didn't cause that. COVID exasperated it though. You know, it put us in this boiling pot, and whatever was happening in the home was just now intensified. And so we find ourselves in these situations where it's this big aha, big crack over the head. And it's like, okay, we no longer can wait for this to clear. It's not just a pandemic for a virus, but we're also now facing another emergency within our unit.
So this is my COVID kitty, TJ. Hi, baby. And he still loves to climb on my laptop, especially when I'm doing things like recording podcasts.
Of course.
He's my family at the moment. So let's actually back up to before COVID, because you guys have been encouraging busy entrepreneurs and other professionals to be more intentional about carving out time for their family and making it a priority. So talk to us about what 18 Summers is and why you both left careers in education to form this company.
Yeah, well, we just saw a need. I've run also, Jamie was in education. I had a real estate investment company for over 20 years. I still have it. But what I saw was there were a lot of leaders, executives, they were doing really well on the balance sheet. But when I got backstage and had conversations, family life was lacking. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of ways out there to help improve our marketing, to, you know, get better financials, to pull certain levers, but there wasn't really a lot out there to support the, you know, the executives and the professionals with simplifying and strengthening family life. So for my own need, I started to try to uncover principles and simple strategies that would help with that. And overall, we found that the encouraging news is we think you can have success in business and success at home. And normally you're only a few principles away from getting 80% of the way there.
And for me, learning, you know, working with families and students so intimately, directing schools, I saw oftentimes many of the same problems. Either the parents were facing problems as adults that we don't want our children to have to face, right, or we were seeing the children kind of hit up against the same issues. You know, families were having a hard time rhythmizing the day, or the children were chaotic, or they're getting diagnosed with ADHD and somehow it's much too late in life to even be diagnosed. You know, it's just one of those things in which noticing the patterns in their life and the rhythms and helping them really establish their core values and pull in some of these rhythms and consistencies so that they can have, you know, the greatest chance of what they're looking for in a family life. So I think we just kind of melded the two together and really just used our own family as a testing ground.
I was going to ask if your family was a little learning lab sandbox for things you end up teaching.
They've always been a lab. And then when we've done retreats for almost a decade, and when you get, you know, families together for 2 days, 3 days, it is like a giant experiment, you know, for, and you just learn so much by letting all ends talk. And there were always some reoccurring themes, some reoccurring issues, some reoccurring solutions that kept rising to the top. Mm-hmm. And that was really interesting to see, which I know, you know, knowing what you teach with leadership, there's some key principles that you go back to that when people try to overstep them or sidestep them, they're cheating themselves. And that's where we've tried to simplify to say, well, let's get to the core of things and try to make these work before we try to go to fringe stuff, if that makes sense.
Right. Absolutely. And I want to park the issue of retreats for a minute, because I want to come back and get some color about what that experience is like so that anybody listening who's interested in it can get a real sense for whether they would want to do that with their family. What I want to dig a little deeper on, you said there's just a few principles that people are away from getting 80% of it right. What are some of those principles? Some things that folks can, you know, whether they're best practices, rules of thumb, what are they?
I think to start with an overall is the importance of realizing that you set the leadership tone at your house.
Yes.
This is absolutely huge. And let me tell you, you know, in 2008, I came that close to bankruptcy with, you know, real estate in both Florida and California, mm-hmm. very stressful time. And I was scared, agitated, you know, just a range of bad emotions. And I don't think I handled it the best. And I made a promise that if that ever came around again, I was going to handle things differently. I remember the second day of the lockdown, I had taken a text chain from someone who I was trying to help out. It was in a really tough business spot quick from COVID. And I got off this text chain and I'm, you know, kind of swearing under my breath. And because I'm feeling like they're getting taken advantage of, my five-year-old standing right in front of me. And she goes, "Daddy, why are you so mad at me?" And it was like, ah. And I said, "You know what? Everything's being brought home. I'm setting the tone. I'm either going to be here with my family or I'm going to be in a part of the house completely separate. I'm not going to be puking in my living room any work stuff. I'm going to keep things separate." So we really set that leadership tone. I took that pretty seriously. I mean, even we were probably about 5 weeks in and one of my teenagers said, "Dad's been so happy through this. It's annoying." Yeah, it was really annoying. So I was actually really proud to get that.
That's a high compliment.
High compliment. And I was like, see, and that's, but I knew that we set that tone.
Yeah. And just like in your business, no matter what's happening outside. So recently, like we keep referencing, you know, okay, so COVID, the government, everything that's occurring outside of your home doesn't have to occur inside of your home. It doesn't have to occur inside of you. You can choose the emotion, the tone that you're setting inside of your space, what you're bringing into your home. So if you're frantic in your home, if you're constantly puking about how bad it sucks, how life is over, how these morons, you know, like politicians or, you know, like whatever it happens right. that you're vomiting about work or about world, your children are like, oh gosh, I need a bath from that badness. And then they're going to continue that same energy. Or if you're irritated from work and you're not setting clear boundaries and expectations, then you're taking a phone call when you're supposed to be playing a game or reading a book. You know, there's just some things as we get into some of the other principles, you know, boundaries and expectations are huge, so that you're having work in a workspace and having play in a play space, or having romance in a romance space, whether it's, you know, with a spouse or you know, playing with your children, but that everybody knows when you are with them versus when you're with your work or with the rest of the world. And we just try to really be mindful of building that type of a schedule so that everyone knows what to expect and you know what to expect for yourself. Okay, I'm gonna allow myself to consume media for 30 minutes at this time of day. I'm not gonna consume it all day long and be gluttonous, but for this amount of time, I'll get informed and then I'll go be with my family. So.
Yeah, which kind of leads us into the second principle we talk about, which might seem obvious, but it's so overlooked. And that's, we all got used to social distancing, like we were talking about before we started the interview. But we really need to look heavily at tech distancing. It's a term that we came up with. We had always talked about doing tech fast as a family, having times when we're on, times when we're off. Like, you know, intermittent fasting is a great health way for maintaining weight, organ revitalization. Doesn't mean you don't eat, but you're choosing to eat. So we call it tech fasting or tech distancing. So like Jamie said, fine, people, there's lots going on. If you want to read the newspaper or watch news for up to a half hour a day, that's great. But we have a saying, if you watch it for a half hour a day, you're informed. If you go to 2+ hours a day, you're infected. It's great. So we encourage people to do some tech distancing on that. And also have a period of time where you're completely and totally unavailable. Give yourself that gift every day. We call it the dinner time challenge. We were actually on the...
So unavailable to work.
Or unavailable to work. Yeah, everything. For home, you're unavailable to all your work, to any news or anything. And we called it the dinner time challenge, where for an hour a day, you guys pick the time and hour, go back to the old school dinner, where from 5:30 to 6:30 or 6 to 7, no one is on any sort of technology. So you can't be interrupted with that one annoying Facebook thread or update that bothers you, or text that takes you into a mind fury. You're giving focus to your home life again without the chance of distraction. You know, there was a study that 60 years ago, the average dinner time was about 90 minutes, 60 years ago. Do you want to know what it is today? What they said the average dinner time is today?
It's probably less than 10 minutes, if I had to guess. Plus,
it was 12 minutes.
Okay.
So huge. I mean, you're right. So it just shows people were rushing off to other things. And if we're always doing that, you know, just as leaders of a company, if you're not really listening to your executive team, taking that time to focus and always rushing out, are you going to connect? Probably not. So the principle of tech distancing is something we try to practice and still set the example of, you know, for our kids. So that we can reground and really be there present for each other.
Absolutely. I love it. And your terminology, informed versus infected, I'm going to use that. I will give full credit to you, but I love that. It's such a great way to describe it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Is there a principle number three?
There is. Do you want to go over the third principle?
Scheduling and boundaries and expectations.
Yeah, well, revising.
Oh, yeah, sorry. In my head, revise is at the end, but you know. So revising a schedule. So once you create, you know, once you know when your tech distancing times are, and once you set the tone in your home and you have these boundaries and expectations, things that, how you want it to be set up. For us, it looked like a schedule. We have 4 children, 2 companies. We took in 2 foster children over the pandemic as well. So we had a lot of parts. And so we took, okay, what do the teens need to accomplish? What do the toddlers need to accomplish? What do we need to accomplish individually? You know, we had to take all these pieces and we created a schedule that had times of availability, times of unavailability to work to each other. You know, still had a date night, even though date night looked more like a huddle in a corner, rocking and crying together. But just making sure that the things that mattered to us happened, that dinner time happened at the same time each day, you know, and setting some of that up. And what we found was the first week or two, we were like, oh, we were so proud of ourselves. We thought we nailed it. We had like this giant space of availability time to just like have family play. And then real estate kind of went insane on week 2.5, 3. And all of his free time, family time got sucked up into work. And so instead of constantly every day fighting that chunk of time and him feeling guilty that he couldn't do the family time or guilty when he's doing family time, knowing that work needs him, we revised the schedule. Because we know that revision is part of learning and part of
scheduling. Cat. There goes the cat.
Yeah, but so we just took into mind, and we were like, you know what, it's never perfect the first time. It's maybe not even be perfect the fifth time. So revise, revise, revise. We made a revision. Okay, so dad's not available 3-hour chunks of time. Mm-hmm. You know, and then for us, when the foster children came, you know, about halfway through the pandemic, we had to adjust my available hours because it got to where I was needed to be pulled a little more into the home and not as available for work. And so that kind of had to adjust. And so we just found ourselves navigating, or we'd find a restaurant and we would suddenly change one of our meal days to a takeout day instead of a mom cooking pasta day or whatever it happened to be.
Sounds like it's being flexible.
Yeah. But just knowing that it's, instead of feeling guilty or fighting against it, just knowing that you can revise it. Look at what you're doing and change it to where it works. And I think we're on revision 4 or 5 now, but we really found a place where like, okay, this is where it sticks. But don't throw out all the good stuff. Okay, all of these things work, but the rest of this doesn't. Okay, so then just change what doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right. You know what it reminds me of? Are you guys familiar with Getting Things Done? It's a productivity Bible for a lot of business people, David Allen, the GTD method. And one of the things that he advises people to do every week, hence the name, is a weekly review, which is look at your calendar for the week that just passed. What had you scheduled that didn't end up getting done? Look at your calendar and your task list. What still needs to get done? What can be de-emphasized? Looking ahead, what do you have planned for the coming week? What's priority, what's not, right? Are you missing some things? And being intentional about using the time wisely, consciously for priorities, etc. And the reason it's weekly is because you can't really plan much further out than that, right? Because life throws you too many curveballs. And so, I mean, what it sounds to me like the revising is kind of the family version of the weekly review in some ways. And frankly, they can be done together, because I agree wholeheartedly with something you said at the introduction, which is people who are happier at home are happier at work and vice versa. And it creates interdependence because they both contribute to being your best self.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And as you said, planning out for the week and then putting it into motion is easier than trying to do by each morning, each afternoon. It gives more of a visibility, like the old Stephen Covey. And I've used that for almost 30 years now in my life. And it does give a broader spectrum. And again, I think it's so important that her and I always talk about, okay, what do we have coming this week? Mm-hmm. Together, we have that time in the beginning of the week. And whether, you know, Jamie and I run the education company together, I take care of the real estate business, and then she runs the household for the most part.
Sure.
There's overlap. And the more that we're staying in touch on that, things are more cohesive, they run better. So if you're not taking a little bit of that time to actually even take 10 minutes and say, what are the big rocks we got on the table this week?
Yep.
It could simplify things so much, where there's that big misunderstanding or that big oops, or can be avoided just with that. Let's look at the highlights of the week coming ahead and what were some things that happened last week. It's a very simple process, but goes a long way.
Right.
Even doing that with doing it for yourself, doing it with your spouse. And then if you have a family, you know, we usually do Sunday meetings. because what was happening is he would be taking a trip and the kids would go, well, I didn't know Dad was leaving. And we thought, oh gosh, we didn't tell you.
How did we did, but they were running around in the front yard, you know, laughing and that. Like, they said, what do you tell them? They weren't focused. So now.
Right. So we sit down and we say, here's what we have on the week. What do you have on the week? How can we support you? Here's where we need support. So it's just a good way of, you know, setting your own weekly and then setting it with your spouse. And even, you know, you and I had a slip up today because we had a calendar thing. I thought something was for real estate. It happened to be for 18 summers. And, you know, it happens, but the more you're in communication and getting clear on those things, the better.
For sure. So let me ask you, those Sunday meetings, is that the genesis of the book that you authored, Jim, The Family Board Meeting, or is that something different?
I'll get into that in a minute. That's something executives will really resonate with, because, you know, it's actually a strategy where I'm taking what's made most businesses successful and brought it into the relationship with my wife and kids, mainly for Jamie and I to use with our children. Actually, we can go into it now. And it's just basically, you know, for everyone's used to a board meeting, right? A board meeting happens quarterly, normally in companies. Mm-hmm. And from what I see, it has two purposes, you know, reflect on the last 90 days, reunite the team, and look ahead to the next 90 days.
Yep.
I started to do that years and years ago with our boys, because I wanted to see them shine. I wanted to keep my relationship running, a busy business that came out of 2008, almost going bankrupt. And so I said, you know, I'm going to have a board meeting with each of my children every quarter. So I started to spend a half day at a minimum with each of them. And there were only three guiding principles. It had to be one-on-one. So none of their friends could come. None of their siblings could come. It wasn't me and Jamie. It was just me and my son or Jamie and that.
Okay.
Second principle was without electronics, which I just hit on. We're big on
that. Love it. Yep.
My phone is off. Their phone is off. They didn't have phones at the time because they were younger. And then the third thing is they plan the day. It's a fun activity of their choice.
Nice.
The time at the end of the day to talk. And, you know, I go into deeper stories about problems our family overcame, because we're a blended family of adopted and biological children, and those meetings were absolutely pinnacle. And I started to share them very cautiously, or almost like, oh, this is such a simple thing, it's not even worth talking about. Well, funny, that's what I started to get invited to bigger business events to speak on. Hey, what's this thing you're doing with your kids? And next thing, it turned into a book, to interviews, to, you know, a whole series of family support. So that one thing of, I do a board meeting every quarter with each one of my children, one-on-one without my phone, they plan the day, I follow it, and we spend time at the end of the day talking. And that simple formula has deepened and strengthened our relationship beyond measure. And most people that we've worked with, and it'd be thousands of families now, say that one technique, that one, has taken them to a different level with anywhere from divorced dads who were separated from their kids a lot to busy executives who were just too dang busy. But
right.
They said when you schedule it and they put it on their schedule, like it's their most important shareholder or whatever, and it gets done, the relationship just nurtures and strengthens.
I absolutely love that idea for the kids, absolutely. And for people's direct reports, you know, it's like everything you guys are talking about for doing in the family are things that people should be doing with their most important relationships at work also. And it's like a lot of people know they should be doing those things in both places and they don't do them in either place.
Yeah.
and the common denominator is relationships, whether they're immediate family, extended family, work relationships, we're all just people. And it's how do you cement those relationships of trust and commitment and loyalty? And you can only do that by spending some quality time together in the way you described with the family board meeting quarterly for half a day is one brilliant way to do that.
Yeah. And
Leadershifters, I want to hear some reports back from you that you're doing family one-on-one board meetings with each of your kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, you'd be surprised at some of the conversations that'll come out, or the comfortability, or just the laughs.
And just the understanding. Everyone says, I want to support my kids. I want to understand their passions and talents more. You let them plan the day, and you do that for years, things will float to the surface.
Start to see what they're interested in.
And
do they have a budget of things to plan for that?
Well, you know what? We, and people have said, oh, they're going to pick something expensive. It's been very, very rare. Some of them will be free. Going to the beach,
awesome,
where the boogie board was free. You know, other ones would be more expensive. But we kind of,
like our oldest,
will limit that.
Yeah, our oldest is really into fishing. So a couple times he wanted to rent a boat to go fishing. But now Alden buys cheap boats off of people and repairs them and resells them. And so his love for that bit was really incubated in board meetings, like because dad would rent the boat and they would get to have the full experience. He now has such a love to like rebuild boats himself and take himself fishing. So it's just really interesting. Yeah.
Interesting to see that play out, I'm sure, for you guys.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, you can put a price limit on it.
Yeah.
And some people have had to. A lot of the times it's not that expensive. And then our fourth quarter one is always something of service. So it's not in many ways. So yeah, the fourth quarter is, we're going to send, you know, care packages to the troops. We're going to sneak into the grocery store and pay for someone's groceries on the side. We're going to buy homeless pizza, all the homeless people pizzas, and pass them out. Like, so it's very, very service oriented. So
So
it's not going directly to them. It might cost money, but it's of some sort of service and contribution.
Right. Again, something beautiful to pass on to your kids, the spirit of service.
Yeah. Well, most, you know, executives and professionals that we talk to, I said, what's your biggest concern with your kid? And it was scary. I'm talking 99% said, I want my kids to appreciate what they have.
Yeah.
Like, and because a lot of us, we work hard. We maybe started to produce a good income, some net worth. And we didn't come from that. And we're saying, we don't want our kids to not appreciate it. Like, how do we make sure they appreciate it and aren't jaded?
But don't have that struggle.
Or entitled.
Yeah, entitled. And service, active service and contribution has been the number one way for workshops, retreats, consulting we've done. It's like a hack. You want your kids to appreciate what they have? Be involved in some sort of meaningful service and contribution together. You will see... you will get those results that you're looking for. I mean, writing a check is great, and that's important we do that. They don't feel that. Now, when they're actively in it, it's a shift of, as you said, it's a leader shift.
That's right.
Makes you proud. Right. You're putting those boots to the ground. And again, to use our oldest as an example, he has such a love of animals, and we walk dogs. So every Friday he would walk dogs at the local shelter, and yes, he would get attached, or yes, he would get, you know, nasty cleaning out cages, or yes, he would, you know, there were certain things that would happen, but he loved he was doing what he could. He wasn't making a bunch of money to then be able to write a check, but he knew he could contribute by once a week, he could bring dog treats and walk some dogs. And so, you know, again, allowing them to do service within their interests as well is so powerful.
Mm-hmm. So what would it look like to work with a family on a consulting basis? What types of things do you teach them, or, you know, and is it just the parents, or do you work with the entire family? What does that look like?
It's mainly the parents, and then the children get in. I think we really like to go back to core. You know, you were talking about fitness before, and, you know, yoga, and once you strengthen the core, right, everything else will be strengthened around it. So with Jamie's background in Waldorf and Montessori, which was just so key for, I think it's one of the most business-minded educations there is, you go back to some core things. We start saying, okay, well, as a family, the same way you would with a business, have you identified your core values? Mm-hmm. So you can make value-based decision-making. What are your values? What are your core values?
There's nothing else in alignment until you have that lined up, until the whole family really buys into and creates those together. Because what's your culture otherwise, right? Yeah. Same thing with the business. If you don't know what you're there for, if you don't know what you're working towards, if you don't know what you're passionate about within your family core, then you're just existing. Same thing with a company. You're not really going to continue a progression.
We usually, it's a, I'd say there's a 3-point starting. What are your values?
Okay.
What are your rhythms? Where are you wanting to go? What are you wanting to do as a family? What are you wanting it to look like for family life? And everyone gets to contribute, you know?
So sort of like the vision for the family?
Yeah, almost like a vision. Of a 20-year vision of where you want things to go. What do you want? Things do you want to be doing? How do you want us more or less? Do you want to live cold or hot? Like just, and everyone can have an opinion. Now, is it all going to agree? No. Same with a company, but a collaborative effort can bring together. But you'd be shocked, and I'm sure with what you do with companies, they don't have identified their core values.
No. Or if they have, they're bullshit.
They're words on there with no meaning, no ownership.
And that's no resonance, yeah.
No resonance, yeah. And then there's no rhythms set, you know, no cadences of in place of real rhythms to beat that drum and to work towards those core values and keep you on track. And there's really no objective. There's nothing that you're looking towards. There's no aim. And so we try to do that with families. And by going into those three things, we can naturally remove a lot of obstacles that are breaking up the connection, the communication, the understanding.
And a lot of times people come to us closer, like on that third step. They're like, oh, but we wanted to do X, Y, and Z. You know, like there's some tight bottleneck and everybody is in a pinch and it's, and we say, okay, well, do you have your core value? No. Well, do you know how you got here? No. Well, do you know? And so what often happens is that maybe dad had a vision for the family and he's been busting his ass for it. Mm-hmm. And everyone else thinks he's a big jerk because he's just always busting his ass and busting our ass, right? And so you end up getting into this pattern where you end up in a place that's really uncomfortable as a family or as in a relationship. And you think, well, God, how did we arrive here? And so a lot of times what Jim and I do is it sounds oversimplistic to dial it back to core values, but you know, if we were living in a hot environment and Jim loved the mountains and skiing, like that would be a huge disconnect. But what if he never told me that he loved that?
Sure.
You know,
right. So there'll be silent resentment brewing.
Yeah. And that same thing happens with kids. So this gives them a chance to be heard, because although we work with the parents and sometimes the kids come on, like if it's now a lot of stuff's virtual, as you know, then they're brought in by the parents, you know, to ask questions. Have you ever stopped to ask your children this? Have you ever spent an hour with identifying core values or words of core values that really resonate? And the answer is normally no. And so again,
and it's sometimes difficult to get these big entrepreneur CEOs to realize that their children have a lot to contribute and that, oh my gosh, you have another.
I know, this is TJ's sister, Elaine.
Oh, Leah.
Yes, the cats are very much interested in 18 summers.
Yeah. 9 lives to 18 summers, so.
That's right, exactly. That math works, doesn't it, baby? I'm just laughing because everything you say are conversations just like I'm having in office buildings or in Zoom meetings with my clients. It's like when people get stuck and they don't know where they went wrong or what decision to make, that's where I always take them, is back to the North Star of values and to the vision. Like I just asked an executive recently who was struggling with a big decision. I said, 5 years from now, what story do you want to tell your daughter about this episode? And it immediately, and I wasn't even trying to actually combine the work and the family thing, but I just know how much his daughter means to him. Yeah. And so that was a way for me to direct him to his values. And he had the answer right away on something that he had been plagued with for weeks.
That's sweet.
Doesn't surprise me at all. You know, I think that more people want to be better parents, be a better father, be a better mother. But especially for executives, they feel, whether they admit it or not consciously or it's unconscious, they feel it's better to be good at business. It's easier to be better at business than it is to be a good parent. And so we shy away.
Or spouse.
We shy away. Or spouse. Yeah. And so we shy away because we're like, damn it, if we can pull a company through COVID, you know? And then how can we not relate to our child? How can we not communicate with our wife? And it's almost like an embarrassing thing. But again, just like you're saying with a company, if you haven't identified core values and objectives and rhythms to help you get to those objectives, how could it happen? You know, there has to be intentionality at home the same way there is.
Yeah. So, I mean, essentially what you're doing with them is some family strategic planning.
Yeah.
It's, which again, leadershifters, you know how to do this. Let's bring it into your families.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about retreats, because, you know, corporate retreats either have sort of one of two reputations. One, it's like, oh, we're going to go do like a ropes course and sort of have forced bonding, or, you know, like, so there's that perception of retreats. And then there's the retreats that are game-changing, life-changing, light bulb moment bringing for people, because whatever experience has been created for them on retreat with their colleagues changes the dynamic on the team. So what does a retreat with 18 Summers look like?
Kind of both.
Well, you know how you said,
like, lots of fun.
You like, so to have fun.
You know, not team building, but just, you know, getting out of your comfort zone slightly.
Yeah.
So that you can just have fun together, really. It's kind of like a...
We're big fans of The Office, so if you ever watch the show The Office, like Steve Carell and Lake Wallach-Compaq, and, you know, where they spoof on the retreats. We like to be outside and have fun, but I think the element that separates us from, oh gosh, and the cliches to the, wow, that changed things forever, is exactly what you did with your executive. You said, he's been struggling on this. Well, you brought his daughter into it.
Yeah.
And that brought clarity, a higher level, a better leader. And that's why it's not just the executives, it's their family with them. Mm-hmm. And the family's involved. And it's not kids, you quiet down and color over here and we're gonna talk. No, everyone's involved in conversation, activities, setting values, understanding where the other's coming from. And so that's the game changer, is the dynamic of including the whole family. And a lot of the times our retreats might be, since if we have any hack to give people, the power of one-on-one time is pinnacle. It's an unfair advantage if you spend individual one-on-one time with your family members. Like Jamie and I have our own time, my oldest son, my youngest son, I have my own time with them. So a lot of the time in our retreats might be like, you, a company you're with, it'll be the whole executive team and just one of their children, just one. Mm. So it focuses on that relationship. It puts a magnifying glass in a positive way on that relationship. And just having them there with them and involved and have a better understanding of how hard they work and the things that they might be going through as a preteen or a teen that we've forgotten, game changer. Absolute game changer.
Oh, so I think that's fascinating.
What's our change? I don't know what you want to add to that.
Yeah, I'm babbling. No, you're okay. But just, you know, clarifying that it is a mix of things that are physical and a mix of things that are, you know, I don't want to say it, there's no lecturing, but there are some fun activities that we do that kind of pull out, maybe helping to identify your children's passion, because it may be the first time that you even thought that your child might be passionate about something, right? Because we think that they're children and they just do as we say, and then they don't do as we say, and then, you know, and that's kind of the relationship. But really, they are beings that have passions, they have purpose, they have things that they're going to do. And so it's just really an interesting opportunity to sometimes for the first time see what those things are. And for our children to see us as human, because during our retreats, there's plenty of time available to say, hey, maybe I didn't do something so right, or I wish this would have gone a little bit better. And so it's just beautiful to see the children getting seen for themselves and the parents having a bit of humility. And not that like that's our main goal, but it is a beautiful thing that tends to come out of it. And it doesn't level the playing field, but I think that it increases the level of respect on both sides.
For sure. Gosh, it takes the bring your kid to work day to a whole nother level.
Right. Yeah. And it's about both of you. It's not just about you seeing what you do, but it's about you seeing each other.
And what I like to see happen at the end of it, and it continue on, is, and again, you don't want to force anything, you know, like we talk, if you try to force the values and you're like, no one has ownership, no one buys in, there's no potency. Mm-hmm. But I like to see at the end two things happen: a sincere apology and a genuine compliment. And that might come from the child to the parent, mm-hmm. or to the child, or both. And sometimes that's what we're really looking for. I know, again, with leaders and being executives, I'm just going to pick on us business guys for a minute. Just because we're providing and fighting through COVID, it does not make us immune from a sincere apology.
For sure.
We think that. It's no, we're working hard. Fine, I lost my temper. You know, I'm distant and I'm short. I don't owe anyone an apology. You know how hard I'm working? That's a bad thing. Or you belittle the spouse who's at home or the child who's at home saying, hey, I really miss my friends.
Right.
And so I've just learned those two simple things, and those adjectives in front are important. A sincere apology and a genuine compliment. Those two are like the 1-2 punch of, I think, relationship building. But it can't be a insincere apology and a forced compliment. I mean, that doesn't, those adjectives are real important. But when those start to come up, I mean, you're now starting to feel that distance in a family get tightened up, and then you are one giant stronghold.
Yep. And once people have bonded in that way, they cut each other so much more slack. There's so much more kindness and acceptance and benefit of the doubt. And I guess I just see it happen time and time again, where people don't invest the time to build relationships. And as a result, they're quick to judge and make assumptions and make up stories. And then the tension starts and it doesn't get any better until they clean it up.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
We have a saying, we're all still learning. It was actually a 5-year-old taught it to us, and that cuts us some slack. So just remember, with your family, with yourself, you're still learning. We're all still learning. Let's keep learning.
All doing the best we can with what we have.
Yeah. Instead of, you should have known better. That should have been handled. You should have known better. You know, it was a longer way. It's not easy, and I mess it up, but when you stick to it, we're all still learning. It seems to strengthen things in the long term. Cool.
So what is next for 18 Summers? What can folks who are already working with you, or folks that are being newly introduced to you, be looking forward to from you guys?
Sure, yeah. So 18summers.com is a great place to find lots of information about us, as well as our where to find us on social media. We kind of have everything, you know, from Twitter to Instagram. And we also recently launched our own podcast. We've been doing interviews for a while, but there's something about us entrepreneurs that we don't actually like to put things in a box, right? So we've just been doing interviews and enjoying them and releasing them. But we actually formally have a podcast now. We recently launched a online course, which you can also find on our website.
What's that called?
It goes deeper into, it's our 18 Summers family impact program.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so it goes deeper. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, family impact program.
Yeah. It goes deeper into some of the principles that we talked about today. It goes deeper into the board meeting strategy. It goes deeper into the scheduling, revising, tech distancing, all of those good, a lot of the things that we talked about today. It goes deeper. It has some personal stories. It's Jim and I dumbing it down for you, giving you action, tiny little nibbles of actionable steps to just make an impact on your family. And our book, it's a great time to read The Family Board Meeting, because no better time than summer, you know, 18 summers. This is one of your 18, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, summers, both my parents were teachers, as I mentioned to you guys offline before we started the podcast. And yeah, summers, even though we didn't have a ton of money, we always did something in the summers, whether it was, you know, go to a lake or the mountains, or do a road trip somewhere. And like, those are fantastic memories for me. And certainly contributed to my wanderlust as an adult, no doubt.
Well, whatever we put in, you know, it's put the good stuff in when you can.
For sure. Well, I want to acknowledge you guys for putting the good stuff in, not just to overburdened, overwhelmed parents' minds, but into the children, because something that I constantly hear from individuals and groups of leaders that I work with when I teach them some of the leadership skills are, my God, these are life skills. Why didn't anybody teach us these things when we were kids, when we were in junior high school, or even college, for goodness sake? Why are we waiting until we're leading people for many years before we're learning how to be coaches instead of to be directive, before we learn how to give meaningful, constructive, action-oriented feedback? Why are we waiting until that much time has passed and too many opportunities have passed before those more emotionally intelligent skills are brought, you know, into our radar screen? So thank you for what you guys are doing for kids, for adults, and for everybody. It's been amazing to have you on the show today.
No, thanks for having us. Yeah, we appreciate it. It's
great. Thank you so much. And Leadershifters, thanks for joining us. And just to give you a quick overview of some of the highlights today, and these are things that really those of you who are in manager leadership positions already know, and you just need to be conscientious about bringing them home. You are the arbiter of culture in your home, not just in your office or with your team, right? So you're setting the leadership tone, which means the culture, the boundaries and the expectations, and what your one-on-one time looks like. Tech distancing is something we should all be doing at home and at work. I think we're all way too attached to our gadgets. And then the idea of being conscious about how you schedule and being willing to iterate with it, to have that flexibility of revising so that you know you're spending your time wisely. And slightly different, but also amazing advice, the power of a sincere apology and a genuine compliment, whether it comes from a retreat experience or a fight or a family board meeting, wherever it comes, it doesn't really matter, because those are relationship building blocks that are foundational. So thank you guys for being on the show today. Leadershifters, thanks for listening or watching, and we will see you next time. Mwah.